The reading is from 1 Corinthians 9, verses 19 to 27. Even though I am a free man with no master, I have become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. When I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. When I was with those who follow the Jewish law, I too lived under that law. Even though I am not subject to the law, I did this so I could bring to Christ those who are under the law. When I am with the Gentiles who do not follow the Jewish law, I too live apart from that law so I can bring them to Christ. But I do not ignore the law of God. I obey the law of Christ. When I am with those who are weak, I share their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs? But only one person gets the prize. So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified.
Thank you, Helen. I think I just ought to mention, just before we go any farther, that we do have people in the fellowship. Several people in the fellowship were struggling and unwell. And as most of you know, that James, who took our service last week, was taken ill this week. It wasn't a heart attack. It wasn't a stroke. It was an ear infection, but it's got a very special name, which was sent out to you, and I haven't got it in front of me, and I'm not going to try and pronounce it anyway, but it was the technical name that Teresa, his wife, wrote out for me. James is at home and everything, and they are recovering, but you know, they need our help and our prayers. So James, if you're watching this, bless you from everybody here. And it was also good news to learn that Angela, another of our members, has come through another operation. She's had many, and she is a very remarkable lady. So do pray for Angela and for Mike at this time. Now we're following a series, if you're visiting with us, on following Jesus. And do you think God's got a sense of humour?
Yes.
He sure has, man. Because when I looked at this topic and saw the headline for it, it said running the race. And I'm thinking, why on earth have they given me the title of running the race? Now, the people here will probably know a little bit more, but just before, well, October, November time, I slipped and fell over, and I ripped the muscle, top muscle, in my left hand leg. And I haven't run since then. I've tried to walk quickly a couple of times with not a great deal of success. I shouldn't be telling you this, because then you can think you can catch me at any time. But I thought it was amusing that the person who doles out I won't tell anybody it's you, answer. Oh, sorry. The person who doles out the Sundays has given me this particular topic, and we have had a bit of a laugh about it. But it's more, there's an awful lot in this passage, and it's not just about running the race. There's a lot of things that I want to pick out in the short time that we've got. The first thing we've got to remember, that this is a letter. This is a letter that Paul wrote to the Christian church to address issues that he felt the Christian church in Corinth was struggling with. So we need to remember that particular context. But then we need also to say, well, does that apply to us in any way, shape or form, what he's saying to this particular church here? And it was quite interesting because one commentator that I was looking at, he described the Corinthian church, after reading what Paul had said, as being spiritually flabby. Spiritually flabby. It's a wonderful term, isn't it? I've never heard that one before. Right? Just intrigued me. And it was this sense that he felt that the church in Corinth had become too content with where they were. They realised that they were free people, as it says here. They were free people. And things were okay, you know. And when I read that, I was thinking a little bit about our situation here. We could say the same here. I mean, we've been without a minister for nearly 2 years. Mm-hmm. Nearly 2 years this summer. But God's still working. And God's still blessing. We have people, new members coming in. We have people coming in and asking for baptism. We had somebody came in who was sitting over there. And he came up to the front door and he said, can I come in? You know, fantastic, isn't it? And we think, oh, things are really good. And we've got nice, comfortable chairs to sit on, no matter what you say. If you think these are not comfortable, then you go to some... You remember the old pews? You know, you go and sit on them, right? But we can become a bit blasé about it, and a bit complacent about it. And it's great that we've got people coming in. And I know there are some ways we're going out, but we're not doing an awful lot, are we? And I think that really spoke to me when I was looking at this, is this challenge. We invite people in. We get all the mums and toddlers coming in on a Thursday morning. They were all down on the beach on last Thursday, so it was nice and quiet in here. But there's, you know, 70-odd people in here. And ladies come to ladies, refresh breakfast, the men's nights and everything like that, invite people in. But are we actually going out? Are we taking the gospel message out there? Because that's really what he's driving at in these particular verses. So, the first point that I just wanted to make was really just to underline that issue, is this idea that we're free. That we're free. No matter what anybody says. Our sins are forgiven. The debt has been paid. But the cost of that was enormous to our Heavenly Father. And he allowed his son to die for us on that cross of Calvary. Now, what's our response to that? What's our response to that? And the story that came to me was the parable that Jesus tells in Luke chapter 12. Of the man who had the bumper crop. What did he do? He just built bigger barns to keep it all in. You know, we've got this fantastic news that we need to be sharing with the people that are surrounding us, with the world in which we live. So the second point is that the gospel demands a response. The gospel demands a response. On Thursday, we have our life group. And Thursday had been a very busy day last week. And so it's a business. One of the problems in our life group is they like cake. Yeah. And of course, what I'm going to say now is not actually a cake, because we had that discussion as well. Right, so Thursday had been so busy, I hadn't got time to make cake and everything, do the icing and everything. So it was decided that I would make scones, you see.
Very nice.
Very nice. Thank you, Robert. Right. But the problem was, you know, it's about 25 past seven. People started to arrive early. No problem in arriving early. They like to get there early so they get the best seats. Right? And I was still getting the scones out of the oven. And it was like, you know, you were lifting the scones off the tray. And it was so hot, I was having to juggle them. I didn't drop them on the floor or anything like that. couldn't do anything like that. But they were too hot to handle. And that's what the gospel message is. It's too hot to handle. It's too hot to keep it to ourselves. We need to be prepared to go out and tell people about Jesus Christ.
Preach it.
Thank you, Mum. I'll pay you later. But that's what it is. That's what we're called to do. When was the last time, and I'm speaking to myself as well, when was the last time you can remember actually talking to somebody about Jesus? Don't have to answer that question, just think about it. When was the last time? You know, and have you ever been in a sermon where the preacher said, well, pray that God will give you an opportunity to speak to somebody in this coming week? Now that is quite scary, because if you ask God for an opportunity, he will grant it. He will give you an opportunity. And it's yours to take. But that's what our responsibility is. To take it out. Winning people for Jesus Christ. Now that's great. But when I read through the first verses, 19 to 23, we also need to underline a warning. We need to underline a warning. There is a danger here of losing sight of where we are. Now, in all those verses, I don't recommend you do this. I don't like defacing the Bible. But in those verses, 19 to 23, there's one bit that you need to underline in your hearts. And that's verse 21 and the second part of that verse. But I do not ignore the law of God. I obey the law of Jesus Christ, the cross. He talks about identifying with the Jew. He talks about identifying with the Gentiles and everything like this. And that's great. And if we're going to reach out to people, then we need to get alongside them and get to know them. But we don't need to lose the fact of who we are. And that's important. It was quite interesting. If you saw any snippets of the Philip Schofield interview that he gave with BBC. And he talked about when he was searching for who he was. In other words, there was a time in his life when he was totally lost. We may be free, but we are not lost, because God has bought us. But we need to make sure we keep that link secure. You know, we've got certain health and safety protocols if we use this, in using this building. And if we ladder up to a certain height, we have to get somebody standing at the bottom, who's smiling at me now, right? Standing at the bottom to anchor the ladder. We need to make sure it is safe. If you remember when the space exploration was going on, and they did a spacewalk outside of the rocket or the capsule or whatever, they had various harnesses and ropes on to make sure that they could be pulled back if there was a problem. If you go climbing, you wear a safety rope so that you don't fall off. The danger is that as we go out into the world and as we mix with that, we can lose our identity. Right? It's a bit like, have you ever seen one of those programs where somebody has gone undercover? You know, act as an undercover agent. And sometimes they use the term, oh, he's gone rogue. Which means he's gone so undercover that he's taken on the identity of the group that he's been infiltrated. He's got lost. And that's the danger. And that's the danger in this. And that's why we need to hold on to that line, that key verse, you know. I used to be in the Boys Brigade. It always reminds me of the Boys Brigade here, you know, which is, we have an anchor that is steadfast and firm, right? fastened to the rock which cannot move. And that's the great thing that we can have. But then in these last verses, he talks about this description of running a race. Now, he's not talking about running a race that we're competing against everybody else. He's not talking about that sort of race in the Christian life. It's not competition. It's not competition. You know, when ministers get together, they don't all sit down and say, "Oh, I had 20 baptisms last year." Oh, I had 25 baptisms last year. It's not a competition. It's running the race to the best of our abilities, using the talents that God has given us to reach that end. It's not really about running. You know, one of the things that always amuses me when I'm out is these people have come, "Oh, I must be running." Oh, sorry, I'm looking straight at Sue. And I've been sitting in the deck chair, and Sue comes running past, you know, thinking, "Well, oh, I'm worn out already." Right? It's not, in a sense, about us actually physically running, but it is about the sense of being urgent. Because time is running out. We don't know how much longer we have got here. We don't know when the Lord's going to return, but we know he is going to return. So time is short. So there is that sense of urgency. And the prize we're running towards is not a medal. It's not a medal like Manchester City got because they won the FA Cup yesterday. Or the loser's medal that Manchester United got. It's not that sort. It's to hear those words from the Lord Jesus Christ when we meet him face to face for the first time. And he says to us, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come and enter into your master's rest." That's what we want to hear. Don't want a medal. Just want to hear his voice saying, "Well done." Is that what you want to hear? Is that what you want? Is that what you want to grasp onto? Then look to that. Yes, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're here to share something that's too hot for us to handle, and to share that with those that we come into contact with. Let's just pray, shall we? Father, we thank you that you've given us your word. We thank you that you've given us your Son to die for us. But he rose again and is now seated at your right hand on high. We thank you now that we are free. We thank you that we have the privilege of serving you. Father, as this week evolves, as this week goes out, help us to serve you and to take the message of your love to all those that surround us. In Jesus' name.